spirit yield. You alone, you alone are my heart desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend, you're my friend, and you are my brother. Lord, we love you. I love you more than me, other so much more than anything. You alone, you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone. Desire, and I long to worship you. Lord, I want you. I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. You giver and the apple of mine. To you alone, you alone I'll strength my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone, heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone, you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone, desire, and I long to worship you. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless. We give you honor. Oh, I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. Bless your name. I bless your name.
We thank the Lord this morning for being once again in his presence. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We come this morning as your children because we know that the source of our power is in you. After facing so many battles, after facing so many challenges and opposition from our enemy, The only place we know that we can renew our strength is in you. As you said, like an eagle, we have to renew our strength constantly, O Lord. Your children have come this morning because not that they want to show off so that the world will see that they are coming to church, but we came because we are thirsty of you. We came because our souls longs for your more of you, O Lord, and less of ourselves, O Lord. That's why, Heavenly Father, we are committing now this service into your hand. Take leadership. Take full control, O Lord. Let your Holy Spirit anoint every soul here, that those, anything that we came at as burden in our hearts, those who came with the burden for more of God, let them receive more of God, O Lord. Those who came with the burden of the Holy Spirit, let you fill them with the Holy Spirit. All our needs, all our desires, all our natural and physical needs, O Lord, we know that you said, seek first the kingdom, and anything else will be given as a bonus, O Lord. Bless us as we commit the service into your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles. Ephesians chapter 2. The same scripture we read last week. Sorry for being late this morning. We had to collect a family. It's a new family that's arrived from Brazil. From verse 1, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in our lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So, coming back to our topic, we saw that your salvation, God saved us by his grace. It's not because of your works, it's not because of who you are, how good you have been, but it's only because of grace. Amen. As we saw with the life of Abraham, because we are studying the life of Abraham, God called Abraham only by grace. It's not because of what Abraham did, but God chose Abraham from amongst the sinners where he was living, like he did for you and me. So there's nothing for you and me to boast. It's just a matter of grace. But when now God saves you by grace, he introduces you now in a covenant. Amen. Saving you, you didn't deserve it. You didn't merit it. You didn't do anything. He calls you. He saves you. He cleanses you. Now, he makes a covenant with you. You enter into a covenant with God. Amen. And a covenant, by definition, is an agreement. Are you with me? An agreement is a covenant is an agreement or a promise between two or more people to do or not to do something specified. So when God saves you for your salvation, you didn't have anything to do. But you enter now into a covenant. And in a covenant, there are expectations from both sides. Amen. When you enter an agreement, there are expectations. Your salvation, you didn't deserve anything. You didn't do anything. But God brings you now into a covenant where there is expectations. There are things that now you have to do as a result of your salvation. As the consequences of a covenant you have, got into with God. We are talking about an unconditional covenant. Amen. God make a covenant with you, but that covenant is unconditional. It doesn't mean that there is no requirements in the covenant. There are requirements in the covenant, but breaking the requirement doesn't break the covenant. That's the difference between a conditional covenant and an unconditional covenant. A conditional covenant is the type of covenant that God established with Adam and Eve in the garden. The day you eat, the day you die. As long as they didn't eat, the covenant was alive. The covenant remained. As long as the condition was met, Adam wouldn't die. But the day they broke the covenant, since it was a conditional covenant, it broke the covenant as well. They broke the condition, and the covenant was made, brought to an end. But in an unconditional covenant, and I need you to understand it very well, it doesn't mean there is no requirement. Because many people will go and say, oh, we are in an unconditional covenant, so I can do what I want. No. It's an unconditional covenant, but it's still a covenant. A covenant is an agreement. You agree with someone to keep something, to do something, and him, the other part of the covenant, is expecting you to do something. You are expecting them to do something as well. But the difference is breaking the terms of the covenant doesn't kill the covenant. Are you with me? So, we need to understand that very well. I wanted to insist in that because I don't want people to go with the impression that, oh, we are in an unconditional covenant, so I can do whatever I like. I'm under, covered. I'm covered by the unconditional covenant. We are saved by grace, isn't it? But look now at what grace means. We are saved by grace. We are living under God's grace. And, but what are the requirements? What does grace, the grace of God means? Titus 2 from verse 11. Are you there? Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Did you see the grace of God? You are saved by grace. Amen? We are saved by grace. The Bible says the grace of God appeared to all men, including you and me, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in the present world. Amen. You see the meaning of grace. You are saved by grace, but that grace doesn't mean you have a blank check. The grace, it brings you in a covenant, and that covenant has expectation from your side that you should live godly. You should live righteously, soberly in the present world. So the unconditional covenant doesn't mean you can live anyhow you want. You are saved by grace. You are under an unconditional covenant. But that unconditional covenant has some requirement, has some expectation from you. You have to live, as the Bible says, to produce, to bring forth fruit of repentance. You have to live accordingly. The evidence that you are living under the grace of God
is that you are living godly. But remember, it's an unconditional covenant. That way you can't really catch the meaning of God's grace unless it is a revelation. Because if you understand what God... There's a temptation to lean on one side or on the other side. One side is the legal side, where anything you do, straight to hell. The other side, the other extreme is, I can do anything, I'm under grace, nothing will happen to me. These are the two extremes of the covenant that we are in. God doesn't judge you because of your mistakes. But God is expecting you to live according to his word. Amen. Amen. So that's the covenant that we are in. If you break the terms of the covenant, God doesn't end the covenant. The element of grace kicks in. Said, you are my child. You have done something wrong. I won't kill you because you did it. You are under an unconditional covenant. When I made that covenant with you, I didn't say the day you eat, you will die. I said the day you eat, if you repent and come under the blood, I will forgive you. Amen. Amen. That's the type of covenant that we are in. But remember, there are expectations. Though it's an unconditional covenant, but to access the fullness of the blessings of the covenant, you have to keep the requirement. Amen. It's like a father and son relationship or father and daughter relationship, because most of the time we only speak about sons, ignoring daughters. But it's the same type of relationship. Between a father and his son or his daughter, there's an unconditional covenant. You are not my son because you obey, or you are not my son because you did something good. You are my son anyhow. Amen. I'm not your father because I pay your school fees or I feed you. You know, there's so many fathers that has abandoned their children in this world. They've never even seen them since they were born. But they are still their fathers. It's an unconditional covenant. It's a, you know, unbreakable bond between a father and his child. Amen. But to access the fullness of the benefits of the covenant, some requirements, some expectations need to be met from both sides. If a son doesn't obey to the father, he will still be a son, but he won't benefit of the fullness of the covenant. Are you with me? If a father doesn't fulfill completely his duty as a father to his daughter, he will still be his father, but he will lose the esteem of the daughter. They are still in a covenant, they are still in a relationship, but they don't access the fullness of the benefits of the relationship. Are you with me? A child will still be a child, but the day where the father will sit and, you know, divide his share between his children, that disobedient child won't have the same portion as the children that has obeyed to the father. They are still all his children. If you want to name his children, we start from the second to the 12th. But the relationship between them, there's some blockage in between. The channel is not fully open compared to a child who has been obedient to the will of the Father. Are you with me? Amen. So you are saved by grace, but God is expecting you to meet some requirements. Meeting those requirements will make you now full beneficiary of the blessing of the covenant. Amen. Amen. So don't stop middle way. Most of the time, preachers will come and say, oh, you are saved, you are going to heaven, God doesn't look at your sins, which is good. But to be beneficiary, fully beneficiary of the blessing of the covenant, he has to tell you again as well that you need to live under certain conditions. You need to meet some expectations. And meeting those expectations will make you fully beneficiary of the covenant. Is it clear enough? We are going to see it with the life of Abraham. Because we are just, our study is based fully on the life of Abraham. If you take Abraham's life, you'll see the full plan of salvation, how God is dealing with us. Take the life of Abraham and go and read Ephesians 2, where we have read from 1 to 10, or even the entire chapter. You'll see the parallelism between you and Abraham. The exact same way Abraham was living in sin amongst the idol worshippers, amongst the people of any type of life, lost in his fleshly desires. And that's exactly who we were. God, by his grace, he came and took you. That's exactly every single chapter in Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. That's the life of Abraham. That is your life. Now, Abraham, for him to access now the fullness of the blessing, God was expecting something from him. God said in Genesis 12, Abraham, come out of your kindred. I will make you. There was no conditions. I bless you. I will do this. You will become this and that. But before Abraham could get into full access of the blessing of the, you know, the blessing of the covenant, God was looking at his attitude. God was looking at his behavior. God said to Abraham, leave your, you know, let's read it. Genesis 12. Now the Lord then said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. You see the God's instructions there. It's clear. Out of your country, out of your father's house, out of your kindred. But what did Abraham do? Instead of doing what God told him, he got out of his father's house, he got out of his country, but he didn't really fully get out of his kindred. Amen. Instead of, because sometimes you'll say, I've left Egypt. But did Egypt leave you? You leave Egypt, but you took some of the Egypt with you as a souvenir. Amen. You get out of Egypt and you take your lot with you. God said, no, leave everything. Your father's house. Lot was one of his father's house. Instead of obeying fully to the God, to God's requirement, say, God, I will obey. I'm going. But Abraham had very good reasons to take Lot with him. Amen. You can't blame Abraham because he was his brother's son. How can you blame D from taking, what's your brother's name again? Johnny. Johnny is still alive, okay? I'm not saying Johnny is dead. Amen. But your brothers, you know, an orphan from your brother, he's been under your tutorship. You have been his father for so long. God said, Abraham, leave. Abraham had all the right to say, God, but look, Lot, he's almost my son. I can't go without him. He had all the reasons to explain, and humanly speaking, he was right. He took Lot with him. But remember, as long as he didn't fully obey to God's instructions, he didn't get fully into the blessings of the covenant. All the time he had Lot with him, it was troubles. It was strifes. Famine came into the land. He had to leave the land, go into Egypt, where he had to, you know, bargain against his own wife. He had to make compromise. and so many bad things happened. It's only when he came out of Egypt, strives, quarreling, so many bad things, he got now the revelation. God told me. Why? Sometimes as a believer, you have to stand to make a halt in your life and ask, why are things not working? At some stage, Abraham could see just a succession of failures. God told him when he left his country, I will bless you. God didn't promise famine. God didn't promise anything that will go against what is a blessing. But he went out, famine came. He had to find a way to go and lie in Egypt. He had to go, and even he came out of Egypt with Agar, who became a big issue down the line. At certain stages, Abraham had to stand still and say, what is wrong here? I need to make now an account. I need to make now, to start now checking everything in my life. And realize that, the problem is Lot. God told me to leave my father's house, my country, and my kindred. But I'm still, you know, dragging Lot with me everywhere. Abraham caught the revelation and said, Lot, you are my brother. We are from the same household, but when it comes to the kingdom, it's an individual affair. Lot, you choose. You go to the left, I go to the right. You stay here, I'll go there. It's only when he decided to God separated with Lot. Look now, chapter 13, verse 7. No, verse 14. Chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, listen what we follows, after that Lot was separated from him. You will notice that from the time Abraham left, as long as he was going with Lot, God didn't speak to him. It was dry. God was looking, waiting for Abraham to comply to the requirements. He went into Egypt, came back. You will see that even, you know, financially, Abraham was blessed. He had a lot of things, cattle, but spiritually, God stopped dealing with him. In verse 14 now, he says, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, when there was now full separation, complete separation, then look now how God come to speak to Abraham in a way he has never spoken to him before. He said, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where you are northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, you will to you will I give it, and your seed forever. God have never spoken to Abraham this way. He says, and I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. This is the very first time God is speaking in such an explicit way to Abraham. God opens more of the blessings, of the covenant blessings to Abraham after he had obeyed fully the requirement of the covenant. Though it was an unconditional covenant, but there were expectations. When you meet the expectations, you have access to more of the blessings of the covenant. Amen. He says, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. He blesses him the way he has never blessed him before. He said, arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, and I'll give it unto you. And Abraham removed his tent and so forth. God reveals himself. God opened, you know, a dimension of blessing that Abraham never had access to before. Why? Because you meet the requirements of the covenant. an obedient child has more access to his father than a disobedient child. Amen. Though it's an unconditional covenant, it's a father-son relationship that will never be broken, but if the child is not obedient, he will miss the blessing of the covenant. He won't have access to the fullness of the blessing of the covenant. Amen. So, we have come to an end now. Just for you to realize how God works with you in your, you know, the plan of your salvation. You are saved by grace. God doesn't ask you to pay €1,000, €1,000,000 to be saved. It's a free gift from God. But from the time you are saved, you enter into a covenant. There's so many riches deposited in the bank of, in your bank account in the covenant. From the time God saves you, he opens a bank account in your name in that covenant. And there are so many provisions in the covenant, in the bank account, but your access to the provisions is conditioned by your attitude. As long as Abraham didn't obey fully to the requirements of God, he was blessed. He had the promise, but he didn't have full access to it. Amen. Next time we'll see how God, you know, gradually unveils himself to Abraham. The more Abraham meets God's requirements, the more he has access to the blessings. The more he is obedient, the more he has access to the blessing. Amen. That is your experience with God. That's your alliance. The covenant has established between you and him. He's looking at your attitude. Is looking at your reaction to the action. When the word is preached, what is your attitude? Are you still dragging some lots with you? Are you still dragging some eggers with you? Are you still dragging so many things? These are just hindrances. It's just stopping you from getting full benefit of what you are entitled to. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for granting us this wonderful opportunity to testify of your goodness, because already we can feel your presence and we can say from the bottom of our hearts that we didn't come here in vain. You were here before we came, and you are here, and we ask you to take now control of the rest of the service. Bless the singing, bless the preaching of the word, bless every single item that will be said and sung and spoken, O Lord. Let your children find relief. Let your children, when they go out of this room, feel, O Lord, that their expectations have been met. We are the children of the covenant, and we are beneficiaries of the covenant, O Lord. Reveal to us whatever we need to do. If there's something that's hindering us from accessing fully to the blessing of the covenant, let today be the day that will separate from our lots, the day will separate from our eggers, the day you will come and reveal yourself in a dimension that you have never done before, O Lord. We'll go and say, I can feel more of God. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and my life has never been the same again, O Lord. Bless your people as we commit the rest of the service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Just quickly before we go, I think Brother Wilmo will come to introduce. We have Pastor...